WildTalkRadio.com.
Alright, it's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, PT.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here, isn't he?
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin, that's Lindsay Ward.
We're here, we're live.
Yeah.
We're talking about Monday Night Raw.
You know who was here and live?
Who?
The new WWE Raw Tag Team Champions, AJ Styles and Omos. And they were like on a 3-week bender. Apparently, they traveled from Florida to the Caribbean. They sailed the high seas and partied like there is no other as they became WWE Tag Team Champions. In fact, Styles became a Grand Slam champion in WWE and it only took him 5 years. Both men were super excited about being back on Raw. Your New Day come out. They won their rematch and they were getting it on the show. And they took some shots at Styles and Omos for, you know, taking a vacation after winning the belts. And Kingston said, hey, they're 11-time champs and take it. When they get up, they come back and come with the title. After winning the WWE title, Kofi came to Raw, even if he was not even a part of the show. Omos was enough, had enough of their jokes. And he said he apparently didn't knock enough sense in him into New Day at WrestleMania. And neither one will be laughing once they're finished with them. After Raw, Woods was like, nah, son, we're about to become 12-time tag team champion. And then they had a pretty good match, which AJ and Omos retained.
They did. They showed New Day who was boss. They won. I liked this as an opener. I thought it was a good opener. It ate up a nice good chunk of the show in the early on.
It was nice to have AJ back.
It was very nice to have AJ back. And I like that they let Omos cut, you know, a little bit of a promo where he's like, I'm tired of your crap. We're going to show you guys why we deserve to be the champions and we're going to beat you. And I mean, he wasn't anything earth shattering or groundbreaking, but it was a nice little promo for him to give him presence in the whole segment, because it's always a little awkward when one dude just stands there and the other dude does all the talking. So I like that they're letting Omos have that.
They're giving him a voice, which is much appreciated.
Yes, it is.
At this stage of the game. So backstage, you had Sonya Deville and Charlotte, and Charlotte has some concerns. There's some concerns. So Charlotte came to the ring, and she had her match with Dana Brooke. She won, and then Mandy Rose knocked Charlotte out of the ring, and Sonya Deville, WWE official, came out. Come back from break. Sonya's in the ring talking with Charlotte, and she said she was a WWE official equal to Adam Pearce. Apparently, she has gained some power. She said she was allowing Charlotte to make a proposal. Charlotte took the mic and took issue with Rhea and Asuka challenging for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania Backlash. But she's learned from the error of her ways, and she's happy to be reinstated. But, you know, she knows Sonya knows that WrestleMania Backlash would be a bigger deal with her on the card. She's an influencer. She's had the most famous face of the women's division. And Sonya has the opportunity because she has the authority to put her in this match. So that's what Sonya did. She was being fair to Flair, as the line was. So Rhea Ripley came out and she's put up a lot of crap with Charlotte Flair. And Ripley said Flair wasn't in the WrestleMania match, and there's no reason why she should be in the That's a backlash. She said nobody likes Charlotte. She talks about how she beat Asuka in a singles match, but thinks triple threat matches are unfair. Ripley said that she believes this is all a part of Sonya's plan. Asuka, too, was upset about all this. She was screaming and yelling and all that fun stuff, and Charlotte said she would walk out of WrestleMania Backlash as champion. They all got in each other's face, and Charlotte took a shot at Rhea, and then Asuka took a shot at Charlotte.
Okay, this is what I need to know about this, because I am highly curious. What does Charlotte have over Sonya? Because in the last 2 weeks, she's racked up quite a debt to Sonya in terms of having her get reinstated and now getting put into a title match that she has no business being in. So, and obviously using and abusing Sonya's power to her benefit.
Let me put it this way. Is Charlotte helping Sonya gain power?
Well, that we don't know. Because she's... Because
that Sonya's could be
on, well, Sonya's on the level of Adam Pearce in theory.
Before she wasn't.
Before she wasn't. She was on SmackDown, though. So now, apparently, not only does she have the authority of Adam Pearce, she has the authority over Monday Night Raw as opposed to just SmackDown. So that's an interesting development. So did Charlotte help her get that? And in exchange for Charlotte helping her get that power, is Sonya now paying her back?
I think that's where we are.
I don't know. I kind of feel like she's got something on Sonya. And she's kind of twisting Sonya's arm into it a little bit.
But what would she have?
We don't know.
Hmm.
That's the thing. Like, clearly Charlotte is using Sonya. I think Sonya's aware that she's being used because there's certainly no guise of, oh, we're BFFs and we're just having the grand old time. No, this is very clearly being presented as a business relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a business transaction that has occurred or is in the process of occurring for Charlotte to get what she wants, which clearly, and I don't know who approached who. That's the thing. Like, we don't know the whole backstory here, but it's kind of intriguing that she's got Sonya in her back pocket for whatever reason. It should also be noted for later that Sonya was wearing bright red.
So there you go. So it's intriguing to see where they're going. So Kayla Braxton on Monday Night Raw tonight doing the interview. So there's a reason why. I'll tell you in a second. She was backstage with Humberto Carrillo and they saw what happened last week. He said he knows how it feels to be bullied. And he won't let Sheamus disrespect him anymore. He said he would continue to accept Sheamus's open challenges. And then wouldn't you know it, Sheamus attacked Humberto. Sheamus told Humberto that it looked like he was in no position to accept his challenge tonight. But hey, there's always next week, fella.
Wasn't very nice, Sheamus.
So, I mentioned Kayla was backstage doing the interviews tonight and wondering throughout the show. I was like, why? Why is Kayla there? There's a reason, Lindsay.
There is a reason.
Kevin Patrick, aka Kevin Egan, I guess, welcomed his first child.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah. It was just announced on Twitter. So that's why he missed the show tonight.
He was a little preoccupied. He's a little busy.
Yeah. A little little baby girl.
Aww.
So there you go. So that is why he was not at the show. People who were at the show were The Miz and John Morrison. They were talking about having tomatoes thrown at him last week, and Miz talked about how awesome he is and how he gets no respect. So it's Damian Priest and John Morrison in tonight, which Damian Priest won the match.
50-50 booking. Woo!
New to Monday Night Raw was Mansoor. Apparently, he is now a Monday Night Raw superstar. He signed a contract with Adam Pearce, and Sheamus started insulting him. And looks like Mansoor would be the one accepting the open challenge tonight, which he, in fact, did. It was in a non-title match. Sheamus would end up winning by disqualification, killing his winning streak, which is up like 40-something wins. He's never been pinned, but the winning streak's over as Humberto Carrillo interfered in the match.
I really liked to see Mansoor. He got a haircut. Number one, he looked good in his suit. He was rocking his suit. I really like his gear. It's very nice. Dude has some serious style going on. And he and Sheamus had a really hard-fought match. Like, they kind of went after each other. And this is probably the best Mansoor has looked. Granted, I don't think we've seen a lot of him because he has not been on NXT TV.
He's appeared a few times on 205 Live.
So, to me, this is the best he's looked. So I look forward to seeing what he does. But yeah, Humberto will not be upstaged, and he will not, you know, let Sheamus just get away with his meanness. So he made him pay for it.
Angel Garza was backstage, and Drew Gulak was mocking him. And in the end, Garza said he would shove a rose up Gulak's ass once he wins the match. And wouldn't you know it, after Angel Garza won the match against Drew Gulak, he reached down the tights and put the rose up his ass, and then punt kicked it straight up his ass.
Can't talk about this.
I guess. I mean,
I just don't even know how I feel about this, because it's like, wait, now we're punting flowers literally up people's asses. I use that in quotations, but I mean, he did. He lifted up Drew's trunks, he tossed the rose in, and then he kicked it. Like, that's what we're coming to? Y'all, come on. Like, first we're throwing water, buckets of water at people, and now we're like, punting roses quite literally up somebody's butt? Come on. Like, who came up with that?
Someone to make Vince laugh.
Probably. But yeah, I just, Angel Garza and Drew Gulak are so much better than that.
They are. Elias and Jackson Riker were backstage, and they were looking to throw tomatoes at the New Day to get some revenge, and they hit Randy Orton instead.
Oops.
So after Riddle was talking with the Viking Raiders, trying to figure out what they were all about, Randy set up a match with him and Riddle taking on Elias and Jackson Riker, and wouldn't you know it, Randy and Riddle got the win. No real shock there.
I'm liking the pairing of Riddle and Randy. I think it's really well done in terms of Riddle's just Riddle, and Randy's doing like the straight man bit where he's ultra serious and he's just like basically tolerating
Riddle until he doesn't need to tolerate him anymore.
Yeah, he's using him for some purpose. I'm not quite sure what, but he is just tolerating Riddle for whatever reason, which I'm liking. It's good. Like, it's a really nice dynamic that they have with each other.
Lince Dorado and Grand Metalik beat Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander then went on a tirade how that Shelton Benjamin was the weakest link in the Hurt Business, and how, you know, he's in his prime and Shelton is not, and just like you, this team is done. So Shelton and Cedric have been broken up.
I feel like bad for them, but I guess it's the right direction, because they took them out of the Hurt Business really inexplicably for no reason. And so they've just been having them do like one-off tag matches because MVP keeps trying to adopt other people. And it just never made any sense. And then now finally it's like, okay, well, we're going to bring you up and we're going to move Cedric on, because they obviously have plans for Cedric, but they don't want to include Shelton. So I guess Shelton falls by the wayside. I don't know, but I feel really bad for them, because it's like they rode high for so long. Like, they were with the Hurt Business for so long, and they really built them as a tag team, and they really did a good job with that. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, no, we don't need you. Bye, punt. So, I mean, it was a little sad. Plus, he called Shelton old. It's like, come on, he's not old. He's not. How dare you, sir?
He's 45.
He's not old. Shut up.
Anyway, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retained the WWE Women's Tag Team titles on this show. Quick match. Thought there would be more. There wasn't. You had Reginald, and yep, that's what we're doing.
It was a thing.
Now, so let's talk about Alexa Bliss and her friend Lily. So, she was backstage, and they've had fun all night and can't wait to tell everyone about it. And you saw their favorite superstars up close and personal. She called it a nightmare come true, and she said Lily loves to play hide and seek, and she's found some particular, you know, peculiar positions. She says Lily has gotten her hands dirty quite a few times, and her favorite color is red. She said wherever Lily goes, trouble seems to follow. She said that Lily told her that a certain someone has beady little eyes, but she can't say who it is because it's their dirty little secret. Alexa said, don't blame her for what happens next, because you know, Lily, what did you make me do?
And then she sung a little song.
She did.
Basically, and she's like, what did you make me do? And then she smiled. So there's a couple interesting things to note. Like we said earlier, Sonya Deville was wearing red earlier. Charlotte Flair has been wearing red. And a certain absent cult leader, ex-cult leader, kid show host, and more important, his fiendish companion, wear red. The Fiend, who's still not been seen since WrestleMania, and Bray Wyatt, who has not been seen since the night after WrestleMania. Did something happen to them? She said that Lily didn't like him.
So you mentioned the color red.
Yes.
That's interesting, because there was an announcement on this show. We're having an evolution. She's back.
She is back.
All red, everything.
Brent's most favorite superstar ever. You guys should totally tweet him about how Eva Marie is back, and he can finally get his all red everything on.
But she was had pink hair, so not red. So they're probably going away from that. But it's an evolution, because they're going to try to get this gimmick over once and for all.
I don't know how I feel about this. I think it adds a level of diversity to the division, but I don't know if it adds a level of diversity in a good sense or a bad sense. I need to see her wrestle. Because I think my one concern is that Eva left like right at the start of when the women's division really changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know now, based on the level of talent that's there, if she can keep up. There's also my concern that they're trying to impart tone down the women's division a little bit. And this is not a slight at her, by the way. But just to basically re-diva-ize the women's division a little bit. Because you see that in characters like Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, who they can wrestle, but they're more diva-like than say, your Beckys, your Charlottes, your Naomis. Those women who are just like badass and awesome and amazing. So I don't know if they're trying to find a balance. I don't know if they're trying to take the women's division back a step. Like, I'm just not quite sure what's going on, but I have some concerns about this with them bringing her back. But if she can come back and she can work and she can be kick ass and everything, go for it, girl. Go with God. You know, because ultimately it's not on her, whatever happens. It's on creative and it's on the company. So I don't want to put the blame on her, because it's not on her. It's on them. But just, this makes me a little nervous.
I understand that. Makes sense. Now, before we get into the main crux of the show, because there's one big story that has to be told, we pause for a quick interruption.
Available May 11th.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette. You can check out my new book, Messy in the Kitchen, and check out my interview with Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Rack Radio Show.
Mark it in your calendars. May 11th, Renee Paquette. Available interview to listen. Do the thing.
And we
subscribe now.
Do the thing. And
be there Thursday.
Be there Thursday, because we might have a surprise for you. And we meet it this time! Like, last time it didn't work out because they told us we couldn't put the interview out until May 10th. But this time, we mean it. Just be there.
Be there.
If it works,
be there. Be there. Start of the show. Don't miss it.
But I think... Oh, wait, we didn't really talk about...
No, we're going to talk about the main story of the show.
I was going to say, we have to talk about the main event. We didn't talk about the main event.
We're going to tell the whole story of the show. We got it. I got this. It's not my first time. Here we go. Earlier today on WWE.com, apparently, or just on the show, Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville were talking with MVP. They're going to have a coin toss. So Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman would walk in, and they do heads or tails, and to fight who would fight Braun Strowman, or refight Lashley in your main event, it happened to be Braun Strowman. Okay, good. So throughout the night, we had, you know, interactions with Drew McIntyre talking things about the match and coming up at WrestleMania Backlash. You had Strowman talk about the same things, and things got heated between the two of them before they split in the opening segment. You know, okay. MVP at one point was talking backstage, and he said Strowman's luck ran out with the coin toss because he's now facing Lashley. MVP said Strowman said should consider himself lucky or unlucky to be in with the ring with Lashley. He said Strowman and McIntyre don't compare her to the almighty Bobby Lashley. He talked about how awesome his abilities are and that no one could handle them. Because Lashley, he's no normal man. And Lashley said he would lose the title without being pinned. And he wasn't going to let that happen. So your main event of this show was, in fact, Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, non-title. Pretty solid match. You had Drew McIntyre on commentary. Okay, good stuff all around. You had, Strowman and Lashley got involved with McIntyre. At ringside, someone got thrown near McIntyre or something like that. Strowman got sent into him. That's who it was. So they got back in the ring, and this allowed Lashley to hit the spear and get the win. Afterwards, Drew McIntyre, your former WWE champion, laid both men out with the Claymore kick, and it was announced that McIntyre and Lashley will stand tall.
I think my favorite thing about this was that Drew walked to the ring like a man that just gave zero fucks.
He just
walked out there with all the swagger he could muster. Because he's like, yeah, look at me. I'm about to end both y'all. But this was good. I liked this. This was a nice little push to kind of reinvigorate everything heading into WrestleMania. I'm not sure what's going on with Braun's hair situation. A little weird right now. I can't tell if he's trying to grow it back out or he just hasn't had a chance to get it cut or like what's going on there. But I mean, if he wanted to keep it this length, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Not that he takes my opinion for anything, but it looked good on him is basically what I'm trying to say.
So this show was a lot better than last week.
Oh my god, this show was so much better than last week. Like, this was actually...
It was a solid show. It wasn't great by any standard. Don't get me wrong. But it was a nice step in the direction for some stuff. Would I have liked to see more women focus on some stories? Yeah. Would I like to see real Ripley get more of a shot to be a headlining act? Yes. I'd like to see the women's tag team titles have more than 2 minutes. Yes. But from a creative standpoint, they tried things that worked. The Rose thing was dumb. But they were able to sort of get things moving in a creative direction forward compared to last week. Last week was seems like they were just out of ideas. This week, they had at least a direction going.
I still maintain that I think last week they had some people out due to various reasons. And so they worked with what they had and they did the best with what they had, although not really, but they tried. Versus this week, there was a very clear indication that the more people were back, that they have brought people up from NXT to fill spots, that they are pushing in a direction towards the pay-per-view. I think they finally started to build towards WrestleMania Backlash because that is soon and you do need to set everything up for that. And that's kind of important.
We are a couple weeks out.
So, I mean, you know, there's still no Bray Wyatt on my show and no idea when he's going to ever show up. So, you know, if somebody could like work on that, that'd be great.
But with that, we're done.
We are done.
So coming up in a matter of moments, you can go to RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or wherever you get your podcast, just search Rack Radio Show, and you can get our review of episode 18 of season 2 of Miz and Mrs. Thursday night, as mentioned, is the Rack Live. We'll have NXT news, notes, and hopefully, if all things go well, a surprise to kick off the show.
Woo!
Make sure you follow the socials. At Wild Talk Radio, Ellen's Word at Rock Radio Show to keep up to date on what the surprise may be. Saturday night, Midnight Edition is another edition of CB Radio. As we mentioned, Fortnite with Friends will be Saturdays only at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. It's trios for now. Sunday night, it's WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, as they preview WrestleMania Backlash. We'll be back next Monday again for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. A week from tomorrow, our interview with Renee Paquette will be available to download. Again, search Rack Radio Show on all podcasting platforms. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code Rock and Sock or...
Sorry. Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are an Epic partner. I'm still learning the shill. I'm still getting used to it.
Go ahead.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD.
We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack Live. Don't miss it. 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show presented by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. Right here on the airwaves of Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at WildTalkRadio.com and Twitch.tv/WTRLive.